If you don't understand that this is such a damnable doctrine of grace that's being perverted throughout the nation of America. And brothers and sisters, they are preaching damnable doctrines of grace. Damnable doctrines. He says in James 2 and 20, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." So we're saved by grace through faith. Now you're listening. We know this, but we're refreshing tonight. It is by His grace alone. It is by faith alone. It is by Christ alone. But why do they leave out obedience? Why do they leave out true faith is obeying the Word of God? They get hung up on the Word and the terminology of, oh, you're trying to earn your salvation. Listen, you've got to live holy in this life. He says, I am holy, therefore I'm requiring you to live holy. And that's what this generation wants nothing to do with. They don't want to live as Christ. Therefore, when Christ comes, He's not going to recognize them, because only those that are in Christ will be caught up. Amen. The Bible says, watch and pray that you be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the face of the earth. The very fact that it says there's some that are going to be counted worthy tells me there is some that won't be counted worthy to escape the judgment that's coming to this earth. Can you say amen? When I think of men that lived holy and walked with God, I think of a man like Enoch. It wasn't enough just to say, I believe. Enoch walked with God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about he was walking with God. He was living for God. And if you're going to walk with God, you got to walk God's way. How many of us know it's a straight way? It's a narrow way. And few that be there that find it. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight in Bible study. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we've got a generation of preachers that are perverting the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is the ways of death and destruction. We live in a generation that's on their way to hell because they're preaching damnable doctrines. And these cunning, crafty men with great educations, good speeches, educations that, oh, look at, well, they know Greek, they know Hebrew. Oh, there's nothing wrong with studying Greek and Hebrew, but can I tell you, we are only saved by the grace of God through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. But you show me a man that believes in God, amen, and I'll show you a man that's obeying God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. I'm talking about, it's a picture of the rapture. He was not, because God took him out of the earth. But before he left this earth, he had a testimony that he was walking with God. He was living holy. He was a man that was separated. Come out from among the world and live separated, saith the Lord. He was a man that had this testimony. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, what is our testimony today? He had this testimony that he did what? Pleased God. What pleases you as a father or a mother when you look at your children? The greatest satisfaction to a mother or a father when you're raising your children is when they obey your instruction. When you see your children are taking what you've taught them, when you've invested into their lives and you've taught them the truth and you've taught them to obey. Amen. Can I tell you, that's why it's so important for us to tell our children the way that you respond to your parents is the way oftentimes they will respond to God. Many of us know you don't like talking any more than how many times? One time? Two at the most. Give them the benefit of the doubt they didn't hear you. But what pleases a father, me being a father of six children, is when my sons and my daughters will obey. And can I tell you, that's what God is looking for. When He comes back on the earth, will He find what? Faith. Will He find obedient people being about their Father's business? So a word that this generation does not want to focus on much, because they, oh, you believe in a work salvation. No, no. I believe in an obedience to the faith. Noah would have never made it if he never built that ark. He had to obey the instruction of God. Amen. Enoch would have never been translated. He never would have been raptured. God took him, but before he was translated, he did what? He was walking with God. He was living for God. Don't tell me that there isn't a way that is pleasing to God. It is the ways of the doctrines of the Word. It is all full of instruction how we are to live our lives. And God help every one of us to be children of God that say, Heavenly Father, not my will, but thine be done. Help me to be obedient. Help me to be obedient. Help me to be obedient, O Lord. And that's what will reveal to those around you that you have true faith in God. I'm going to read through these scriptures. I want you to listen. Hebrews 11 and 5. Noah would have never saved his family. I've already stated that. If he did not obey God. Examples of real true faith in Hebrews 11 and 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. For before he what was translated, he had this testimony that he what pleased God. I'd like to simply say he was an obedient man of God. God, help me to obey you, Lord. Help me to obey you, Lord. It has nothing to do with us trying to earn our salvation. I want to please my Heavenly Father. The word faithful and obedient go together. You show me a faithful man, I'll show you an obedient man. You show me an obedient man, I'll show you a man that's faithful. Enter in, thou good and faithful. That means he was given some things to do, and he did them. Oh, it's not about works. It's not about works. No, it's about obedience. Obedience. By faith, Enoch was what? Translated. But before he had this testimony, before he was translated, that he pleased God. But without faith, verse 6, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with what? Fear. Prepared an ark to the saving of his soul. That's why a lot of people don't obey God today, because there's no fear of God in the church anymore. There's no fear of punishment because they preach a doctrine that says you're never going to be punished because you're saved by grace and you can never lose your salvation. Do you see the damnable doctrine that the masses of people are being taught, thinking that they're not going to be punished for their sin and that they can take the grace of God and live any way they want and turn it into lasciviousness? Brothers and sisters, we need to earnestly contend for the faith. I want to go to heaven over here at the Abiding Light. I want to make it to heaven. I don't want to stand before God and stand before the judgment seat and say, my God, I don't get to enter in. The most fearful words that you could ever hear, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You didn't walk with me. You didn't obey me. You didn't live in my word. We're going to be caught up out of here. We're going to have a testimony. That we please God. That we please God. That we're being obedient to the Word of God. Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear. A fear that propels you. Not a fear of torment, but a fear of reverence. A fear of honor and respecting the God of all creation who says, I will give you life. He prepared, did what? He did some works. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by that which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. So what is biblical faith? Biblical faith is proven by your obedience. Faith without works is dead. Show me a man that has works, and I'll show you a man that is obeying God's word. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, this is what grace teaches us. So what is the true gospel of grace, and what does grace teach us we're saved by grace through faith. They only want to stay at the first half of that when they preach today. Don't talk to me about obedience. Don't talk to me about what God tells us to do and how to live and how. Listen, they don't want to hear anything about sacrifice and obedience to the Word of God and dying out to yourself. And if any man is going to be my disciple, he must do what? First deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. This is the gospel today, brothers and sisters, that we're dealing with. A gospel of perverted grace. Hyper grace, some would label it as. I say they're trying to pervert the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Titus 2 and 11, what is true biblical grace? For the grace of God that bringeth what? Salvation hath appeared to all men. Verse 12, teaching us. So grace teaches us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Grace teaches us and gives us the ability to live holy unto the Lord. To live the way God has called us to live. We all need this grace. Can you say amen? I need the grace of God every day. More and more. But what is taking place is there is false doctrine that is being promoted by the likes of many that are deceiving people. And I wanted to refresh your memory today on these scriptures to understand in Romans 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which what cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. This is what Paul was dealing with the Galatians. These Judaizers had came in Galatians 1 and began to remove them. They tried to get them out of the way, and they were walking in the right way, and now they started to mix the Mosaic law and somewhat of a, you've got to take the teachings of Paul and the law of God, mixed it all together. What they were doing was they were perverting the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But now today, we have a gospel that is perverting it by taking out obedience. And just simply now, all we got to do is believe, because it's all grace. That is a dangerous, damnable doctrine, my brothers and sisters. In verse 18 of Romans, he says, these are doctrines that go contrary to what I've taught you. Stay away from these men that are preaching doctrines that are contrary to what you know I've already taught you. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. That's very clear. They're not serving the Lord, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience, he accommodates them in verse 19, and he's building them up saying, listen, I've heard about you. You're obeying what you've been taught and what's been preached to you. Isn't that a wonderful encouragement? Like I said earlier, when a child obeys, it brings you gratification. It brings you encouragement that, amen, my labor is not in vain. This is what Paul was encouraged by, to hear that when he preached to the Romans, now he's hearing about their obedience to obeying the gospel. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I'm glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would not have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. He says, listen, you're obeying, and that's showing that you've got real faith. So many of the gospels today are not genuine. How many of us know there's other gospels? There's other spirits. There are certain men that are within the churches that are leading the masses astray. So many of these gospels today are not genuine, but men have perverted the true gospel of the grace of Christ, preaching another gospel, preaching a gospel that puts very little emphasis on obedience. It's your convenient gospel. It's your user-friendly gospel. It's your gospel that requires no real true commitment or dedication. Why would I share this with you tonight? Because we need to be warning others that this is a damnable doctrine. The Bible declares to us in Jude 1 and 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly, what? Contend for the faith, one faith, one baptism, one way to salvation. He says we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before ordained to this condemnation. They come in and they destroy what good men like Paul came in, and they begin to bring perversion. They begin to teach falsely. They begin to add and take away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. These are certain men that have crept in where? Unaware. Do you know that people don't even have enough discernment to recognize? They think every man that says they're a preacher, they're an evangelist, they're an apostle, that they're of God. The Bible says, try the spirit of that man by the spirit of Christ that's within you. But there are certain men crept in unaware who were before ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, talking about men within churches, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. We're saved by grace, so you don't have to obey. Some would say a license to live any way you want to live. But you're still going to make it to heaven, because once we're saved, we're always saved. We never lose it. Now, I'm not going to sit there and get into debates with them, but I'll tell you this. I believe that's one of the damnable doctrines that is damning the masses over the airwaves of America today. And I'm telling you, some of our mainline Pentecostal churches are right in fellowship with men that are preaching damnable doctrines, heresies, things that are damning the souls of people, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They're trampling the blood of Jesus under their feet. 2 Timothy 4 and 3, these men are in this time that we are living. Take heed, my brothers and sisters, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4 and 3. But after their what? Own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. God help us. In 2 Peter 2 and 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers, where? Among you, who shall privily shall bring in what? Damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now here is a very powerful scripture. 2 Timothy 2 and 2, and many, shall follow their pernicious ways, by the reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. A damnable heresy is an opinion or a doctrine at variance with the true biblical doctrines of the Bible. True accepted doctrine, the original faith that the apostles preached in Jesus Christ, they will come in to church organizations and religious systems, and they will bring in damnable lies and doctrines that will lead many down the wrong path. So, brothers and sisters, I just wanted to warn you tonight. What has stirred my heart up is at times I'll turn on the radio or I'll see something or hear something, and it will just stir me up when I hear them preaching these lies. The Bible says in Romans 16, mark them which cause divisions and preach doctrines that are contrary to the Bible. So I think it is the responsibility of the pastor and men of God to point these men out. They are literally on the radios that most Christians are listening to every day. They preach this damnable lie of, oh, you don't have to do nothing. And then when you bring up anything about obedience, they say, you believe in a works doctrine. You're trying to earn your salvation. No, listen, I'm going to say it again. We're going to heaven over here at the Abiding Light. I want to make it. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. We're going to have to obey this thing. Yeah, we're going to stumble. Yeah, we're going to fall. Yeah, we're going to be tempted. Yeah, we're going to make mistakes. Yeah, we're not always going to be able to live up to it. But I'm going to tell you, His grace is sufficient. Grace, true biblical grace, empowers us to live like God has commanded us to live. They preach grace is like something that we just go buy at the store at a clearance price. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, there was a price paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. He shed His blood. He shed His blood. Oh, the precious blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Turning the grace of God. Somebody needs to ask this generation, quit asking the question, can you continue in sin that grace may abound? Yeah, you can, but you're going to end up in hell. We're going to heaven. Amen. I want to go to heaven. I want to obey this gospel. I want to believe and obey to the saving of my soul. Amen. And we've got to work out this thing by fear and trembling. We can't neglect this salvation that He's given us. Listen, if the righteous be scarcely saved, what do they do with all these scriptures in the Bible that they just read right over? If the righteous are going to be scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you need to get delivered and become a saint. Get washed in the blood, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and let the grace of God come to you every day, which is through the power of the Holy Ghost to empower you to live holy as He is holy. Now, I know we could go on, and we've heard the doctrines of perfection and all that, and listen, He said, let us go on to perfection. Are we perfect? No, but we're striving. We're keeping our eyes on Christ. We're striving to get to that place. Of Lord, I want to be able to obey You in all things, and I want to serve You with all my heart.